isn't friend at best. Let's turn it up. Let's turn it on. Josie Vacentino is singing that song.
Live on your computer and various other places, Bag of Goodies Productions, Alan Fires and Robert Productions presents another episode of the Josie Show Special Edition. Tonight, Josie welcomes live, returning to the show, S. Denise Newton. I'm Alan Firestone with Tina Passantino, and now, just don't let her press any buttons, because the show will end really, really early, Josie Passantino.
Thank you very much for that intro, as always. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another wonderful episode of the Josie Show Special Edition. Tonight we feature our very great friend, S. Denise Newton, and we'll get to chat about many things, including her new book, Aerial Rising. I'm super excited to talk a little bit about that. Well, actually, a lot about that. we're very, very thrilled to be having her join us tonight, and super thankful that you guys are all here joining and, you know, getting ready to listen into a great show tonight. I'm very, very excited. So everyone, please welcome to the show our friend, S. Denise Newton. Woohoo! Hello! Hi, Denise, how are you?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. And are all those people here to hear me? Little old me? My goodness. I don't know how to act here.
Of course, we're very, very excited to have you tonight, and everybody is listening in because they are very, very excited to hear all about your book, like I am.
Oh, my. Well, you know, you misspoke there, Josie, because it's not my book, it is our book. Aerial Rising is a compilation of 55 amazing ladies, one of them. So this is definitely our book. So I always correct my contributors when they say my book, because we all have birthed this baby, and it is very beautiful. It's a beautiful project.
It is. It's true, because, you know, it's so difficult for me to wrap my mind around it, because it's the first time that I even was considered to be like a contributing author, I guess that's what it's called.
Yes, absolutely.
It's new, but I'm very excited. Yes.
There is, you know, Josie, when I was looking for the ladies, and I knew I had to have 50. I don't know what it was about that number 50, but I had to have 50 ladies, and there was no way that you could not be included. When I met you down in Nashville a few years ago, and, you know, your enthusiasm was just so contagious. And you know, and when you look at a lot of our younger people today, they don't seem to have any direction or much direction or, you know, much focus in their lives, and they make some pretty poor choices. And then I look at you, who knew exactly what it was that you wanted to do at a young age, and you went after what you wanted. So definitely you are a true lioness.
Well, thank you. I'm very, very just honored to be in it, you know, along with the 50 other women that are just fantastic. I was reading each individual, you know, story, and it's so amazing. I mean, there's, you know, wonderful women in here that talk about, you know, struggle that they went through and then how they've overcome, and it's just a very inspiring book all around. It's great.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think so, too. You know, and it was mm-hmm. equally as exciting for me to put it together and mm-hmm. to go back now even. It's all kind of unreal to me when I go back and think that just a year ago this time, that Aerial Rising was simply a concept in my mind. And I said to myself, I said, this project is much too big. I can't bring something like this to fruition. And I didn't think it could happen. I got frustrated a lot along the way, because things didn't seem to be coming together as I thought they should. But anything that's meant to be, and I am a person of faith, let me put that out there. So certainly I believe that this was a God-ordained project, and anything that he wants to come together is going to come together. And so that's why we're here today. It's a reality, because these ladies said yes, and they were willing to share their stories mm-hmm. with the world. And it really is going on around the world at this point. It is definitely circulating. So we're very happy about that.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a very great book. And, you know, when people hear, you know, 50 women in here, it's kind of, you know, you're kind of like, how in the world did that happen? How did you get 50 people to kind of get in there? Like, I mean, you know, how did you manage that?
Well, you know, before I can even answer that part, I have to say how the concept actually came to me, and then I think it would make
right.
it a little clearer to those who are listening as to how I was able to do it, why I had that drive and determination to do it. Last summer, my stepfather was stricken with West Nile virus, and I'm in North Carolina, mm-hmm. and he was the only case in the whole state. So for 30-plus days, you know, my family, we were in the hospitals a lot. He was comatose and also paralyzed. And during that time of being in the hospital every day in the ICU unit, one thing I noticed is that out of all of the families that were in the ICU unit, those that met with the doctors for the most part, those who slept in the chairs, that slept on the floors, that prayed, that consoled each other when there was a loss in the family, by and large, it were women. And I noticed that. And then I also noticed, of course, that most of the medical staff were women, particularly the nursing staff, the radiologists, just about everybody. Most of the physicians were men, but by and large, I saw a lot of women during that time. And what it did was made me think about the role of women in a society that still pretty much undervalues us. And and so I started just thinking. I said, well, you know, what if women were to empower each other? What if women were to create this global sisterhood? And you know, we could really do some positive things in our communities. Our communities are crying out for help. Our children are crying out for help. The next generation needs help. There is just so much going on in our world that's negative. But for every negative thing, there is a positive that can counter that. And I just believe when people get on one accord and of one mind, they can counter a lot of these ills that are destroying a lot of our communities, our relationships, and our family. So that's how the whole concept came about, was watching him die from the West Nile virus. But all at the same time, seeing the role of women and how strong and powerful they were, and how their presence really made a difference. And so that's how it came about. So after he passed, I just kind of sat there and I said, well, I'm going to do this. I don't care how impossible it seems. I want 50 women. It was something about that number. And so I just started looking at those that were in my circle, and I was looking at women that I'm friends with on Facebook and different things, and I said, wow, look at what she's doing. Look at what she's doing. She's making a difference. She can impact. She can make an impact. She can empower people. She can inspire people. She can influence people. And I just began to reach out to these ladies to say, would you be willing to be a part of this? I don't call it a compilation book. This is an empowerment masterpiece is the way that I look at this. And everyone that I reached out to said, definitely, yes, I would like to do this. And so I just became more inspired to stay the course. And here we go a year later, and it's a reality. So that's how it happened.
Wow, that's amazing. And I think it's just such a great project. And I really, really do love it. And I'm right now I'm on page 93. I'm by Jerry Lang. So Yes, and I'm really enjoying not only reading everyone's stories, but right at the top, it's really neat. You have ROAR and then what their ROAR is. Can you explain to people what that means, ROAR, the ROAR?
Sure, absolutely. And in order to explain that, I got to go back a little ways to tell you how I even came up with that concept. Of course, Josie, you know, in 2011, I had the blessed opportunity to visit South Africa for a couple of months. And while I was there, I had a chance to actually interact with live lions. It was not a photo op. It was not Photoshop. It was a real lioness that allowed me to get photographed with her. I gave her a belly rub. I walked with her. I petted her. And one thing that jumped out at me is that when I finally mustered up the nerve to touch that lioness, the first thing I noticed about her is that she was soft. Well, she was beautiful. That was number one. She was very beautiful. Number two, she was very soft. But then the more I began to stroke her, I could feel the muscle and the power under her. And then I felt her strength. And I also saw her vulnerability. You know, if you didn't touch her a certain way, she would react to that. So it just reminded mm-hmm. me of the average woman. And so I knew, being that that lioness did not kill me, and I was actually able to fly back across the Atlantic Ocean, I said, you know what? That has to be a part of the work that I do from this point forward. So I believe that everyone has a roar. And one thing I learned about lions is that they roar for several reasons. And a lion's roar can be heard up to 5 miles away. And
oh, wow.
And their roar can be so powerful that it could create a dust storm. And, you know, the lioness, when she roars when her cubs are lost, when she's sensing the presence of intruders, when mm-hmm. she feels endangered, you know, when she roars, something is going to happen, all right? Either something is going to get right or something is getting ready to get killed when the lioness
right,
roars.
Exactly.
So yeah. I just believe that we as women, we either roar for something or we roar against something. We have women in this book that roar against things like domestic violence, racism. They roar against, breast cancer or various types of cancers. You know, that's their roar, that mm-hmm. thing that drives you, that thing that compels you, that thing that makes you determined to make a difference. That is your roar. So we have people, you know, we roar against things or we roar for things. You know, myself, I battled depression for several years. So yeah. I roar against depression and for mental health. So, and I think that everybody in this world, not just women, men, children, everyone has a roar. It's just that one thing, that thing inside you that you're most passionate about, it is your roar. And this is what I found from these 50-plus women, that they all had a roar. And you see how diverse it is, that everybody has something different that they would like to contribute to society. So that is your roar.
That's true, and it's amazing. I mean, there's so many different ones in here, and you really got to check it out and read every single thing. And I really connected very well with your part in it, because I was diagnosed with OCD when I was very young, and that mm-hmm. causes depression and, you know, a lot of different things. So I suffered a lot with that when I was younger. And then as you get older, you kind of learn to deal with it and adapt and find ways to, you know.
Absolutely.
And it was really cool and very empowering, because reading that, it made me think, hey, I can, you know, she has that as well. I'm not alone. So I think a lot of kids out there and a lot of parents out there will be like, okay, my child will be okay, you know,
Absolutely.
Or I'll be fine. Yeah.
Oh, Josie, you have nailed it. That is really what the mm-hmm. whole point of this book is, because I want people to look and see that, because some things people may be too ashamed to talk about to someone else or publicly, or, you know, they feel just too embarrassed or too humiliated or too frightened or whatever the case is. But I wanted people to see these women open up their souls and said, this is what I went through. But I was able to overcome. And, you know, someone else, whether it's an adult or a young girl or anyone, can open a book and say, oh, my goodness, I'm going through the exact same thing. And if she was able to live through something like that, then I know I can do the same thing. So that really is what the point of Ariel Rising is. And when you see yourself on those pages, it should give you a little bit more empowerment to kind of stand up and say, I'm going to either defeat this thing that's trying to stop me, or mm-hmm. I am going to continue to forge ahead and stay the course in what I'm doing, because I know I can do that.
Exactly. And I think that's the best part about this book is, everyone could find themselves in one of these women, you know, in this book, which is very, very mm-hmm. neat to do, you know. And it's just a very cool book, and I know a lot of people are wondering where they can find this book, and I know there's many, mm-hmm. many different outlets. So can you tell us mm-hmm. some that are for sale? Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. You can get it from, the publisher is Pink Kiss Publishing, and it is online, so that's pinkkisspublishing.com, or amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com. And there are some other online retailers. So the book is very accessible. And, you know, and I'm very, very excited because the official launch, which most, and let me say this, we're from all around the country and out of the country,
mm-hmm.
the women that make up this book. And the official launch is going to be done. If you've read the book, then you'll know, or maybe if you haven't read the book, I'll just go ahead and put this out there, that there was a section in the book called Cubs Rising. And what Cubs Rising is a movement, because the book is now just not a book, it's a movement now, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I have a section called Cubs Rising, and that is focusing on kids age 15 and under. And because I'm one that believes that every one of us, and everybody that's listening to this broadcast right now, everybody on planet Earth was born with an ability. All of us have an ability. We have a talent. We have a gift. We have a purpose. And I believe that with young kids, if we can help find out what that purpose is, that their own little wars when they're little, and help to develop that in them, it could keep a lot of our children from getting off the beaten path and making, mm-hmm. you know, choices that are not so good for them. So if we have a five-year-old that sings well, and we acknowledge that this five-year-old sings well, and we find venues for this five-year-old to get out there and sing, then look, you may be keeping that, we may have just given life to that child that she or he will not stray and go into an area that's not good for them. They may keep following that path. I'm going to be a singer. I can sing. I'm singing at five. I'm singing at seven. And help set their course for life. So the Cubs Rising is actually going to officially launch the book on September 30th. So, and I'm going to let the kids do it. So it is just, I'm very looking forward to that, and it is going to be awesome.
Yes, that is going to be amazing because, you know, a lot of times when a kid can, you know, sing or dance or whatever their talent may be, I know this from, you know, experience, you know, in the public school system, I had a really bad experience with teachers, you know, either saying, you shouldn't do that, or, you know, that's not really a career choice. And so I think that's really neat to have that part in the book because, I mean, you always need that push of motivation to be like, you can do whatever you please, you know.
When I refer to these kids as contributing authors, you know, they stick they immediately stick their chest out, you know. and I just love it because they're as young as five. I have about four kindergartners who, and I did not tell these children what to write. When I said, I talked to the parents, I would like for your child to contribute to this book project, and the kids say, well, Ms. Newton, what do you want me to write? And I said, I'm leaving that completely up to you. So when you read the book and you see what these five-year-olds, these seven-year-olds, these 10-year-olds, when you see what they wrote, these are their own words. I did not tell them what to write. They chose their own topics, and they wrote what they wrote. And I tell you, it is absolutely amazing what these kids have come up with. And so this is why I wanted the diversity as well in Area Rising, because I am the youngest contributor to this project, and I'm not outside of the Cubs Rising, but our youngest contributor is six. And our oldest is 90. So these women range in age from 6 years old to 90 years old, and 90 being the aforementioned Jerry Lang that you alluded to earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. It's just for all ages. It doesn't matter who you are. I mean, anyone could really pick this book up and be like, this connects with me, or I know someone like this that's in this situation. And, you know, so it's pretty much a book for everybody. And that's what I really, and that's what I really, really love about it. And I know, I don't know if it's your granddaughter. Is she in this as well?
Yes, she is. Yes. The 6-year-old is my grandbaby. She, Jasmine wrote her own ABC book when she was in preschool. They were learning letters and ABCs and different things. And she said the best way, she had trouble learning it the way it was being presented. So she went home and she wrote her own ABC book, which helped her not only to write the letters, but to also be able to form words from the letters. And so, yes, and she's quite gifted like that. And then, of course, we have 9-year-old Lanaya Bailey, who wrote her first book at 6 as well. She wrote an anti-bullying book when she was 6 years old because she was bullied unmercifully because of her weight. And instead of internalizing that type of pain and humiliation, you know, Lanaya decided that I am going to write a book and let people know how badly it hurts when you bully and make fun of other people. And so, and that was when she was six. She's nine now, and she's working on her third book.
Oh, wow. Third book. Nine. That's just
yes.
incredible. Wow. I think
yes.
that is just amazing. And what's really cool is, you know, you obviously, you know, you're a writer, but it's really
mm-hmm.
neat that you that these kids are writing their own, you know, not what other
mm-hmm.
people are telling them to write. They're writing
mm-hmm.
it purely mm-hmm. from their fingers, so to speak.
Yes, they
yeah,
are. And this is what I wanted, because I wanted to hear people to be able to hear from the hearts of these children. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and when they sent those submissions in to me and I was reading them, I think I read most of them through tears, because I was just so amazed at what, you know, I'm just going to give you some of the topics. Of course, you have to get the book to read all about it. You know, we have
exactly.
kids talking about why they will never be in a gang. Kids are talking
mm-hmm.
about bullying. They're talking about why they will wait to become sexually involved, because I do have some middle school age kids as well, why they will
right.
not get involved, you know, in sexual behavior at this point in their lives. Kids are talking about, you know, why people should love one another instead of hating one another. Little kids are already seeing issues of racial divide, and they don't like it, and they're speaking
mm-hmm.
out against it. And, again, when I say that I did not tell these children what to write, I didn't. I just said, Mom and Dad, is it okay if the child participates? And they said, sure. And I went to the little kid and said, hey, you write something and bring it to me. And all we did was a little editing. We did not touch the content. So it is
wow.
absolutely amazing, and I am very proud of them.
Yes, yes. And do you think maybe in the future you would do another Ariel Rising, you know, with 50 other women, or, you know, another book that's completely separate?
Well, you know, call me insane. That is my middle name. But, yes, to answer your question directly, I intend to publish one yearly, actually, and we've already started on the second, but I want to put some room and some space in between this one and the next one, because you guys are that foundation, and we want to make sure that your stories get out there far and wide. But I suspect within the next, I anticipate within the next 18 months we will have the second edition out, and it will be 50 different people, and we will eventually include males too, boys and men.
Yes, yes. So mm-hmm. the guys will not feel left out for long. It will
oh,
be okay.
No. And absolutely not. They will not be left out for long, because everybody is making a contribution. To reiterate something I said earlier, I just believe that we're all born with whatever our purpose is, and all of us have a purpose. Some of us just realize what that purpose is a lot earlier and sooner than others, but all of us have a reason for being here. We were not put on this earth just to be born, go to school, you know, get a family, get a job, work a career, retire and die. You know, there's some
yeah.
things that's supposed to happen in between that, and we're supposed to make an impact on this world and leave a legacy, and all of us have that ability. Each and every person on this planet have that ability. We just have to find out what it is and pursue it and do it. And people, you know, we're a lot happier when we're doing something that we've been put on this earth to do, or something that we love. And so we all have that. So I will be featuring people as often as I can and say, hey, look at what this individual is doing.
Yes, pursue it and do it. That needs to be, like, on a T-shirt or something. It really does. That's perfect.
I'm writing that down now, Josie. Thank you very much
do
for
it.
Giving me another job to add to my already good list here.
I apologize in advance if your job is going to get even more expanded.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, Ariel Rising, of course, it's in book form now, but you're also an inspirational speaker as well. Do you, mm-hmm. you know, plan on maybe going to different schools and chatting about it, or, you know, what's in the future with that?
Yes. I mean, it is just awesome. I'm starting to get some invitations now to come to different places. And talk about it, schools, you know, women's groups, women's ministries, women's clubs, just different venues, people are starting to say, hey, you know, we want you to come and empower our women and girls. And I am looking forward to hitting the road and traveling around the country and using that gift and that purpose that was placed in me to make someone else's life better. Because at the end of the day, I just want to leave a legacy that said I was a uniter. You know, I just want to see people come together and use what they already have. We don't have to go in pursuit of something that's not meant for us, because what's meant for us is already there. We just got to activate it.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, I already know a few schools that you can go to by me that would really, really
come to Illinois. That wouldn't be a problem whatsoever.
Do it. Do it. You have to. You have to now. Because I already know. I already know a few that would love to have you speak. And you know, not only do you do all this, I mean, you do a lot of different things. I have to say that right now. because not only, are you an inspirational speaker and, you know, you got this book out now. You already have some other books out, and also you're a radio show host. Can you tell us? Yeah, tell us a little bit about your radio show. I know we talked about it before, but for the new listeners out there, tell us about it.
Absolutely. Well, I hosted Solutions Now Radio with the phenomenal Skylar Jett for about 3 years. So right now that show is on hold for a bit. Skylar got so much going on, and I do too. But what I do is every fourth Wednesday, I do host a segment on the National and International Roundtable on Blog Talk Radio, and that's the international platform. And we talk to all kinds of people from celebrities to sports figures to the child next door. You know, if there's a story that needs told, then that's what we do on that segment. So that's every fourth Wednesday of the month that I host the National and International Roundtable. The regular host is Arif Khatib, who was the founder of the Multi-Ethnic Sports Hall of Fame, and Municipal Court Judge Fad Wilson. They host the first three Wednesdays of the month, and I do the last Wednesday of each month. So it's pretty exciting.
That is very exciting. Well, congratulations on that new endeavor. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Wow. You're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome. Well, yeah, I'm definitely going to have to check that out. That is really cool. Everyone, check that out. Make sure you catch Estonese Noon on there. And I have to mention, you going back to your experience in Africa, you actually have your whole adventure on your other book that I have. And I just love it. It's Two Continents, One Hope. And it's amazing. Yes, yes. And
thank
it's so
you.
Great. Yeah, you're welcome. I had to tell you how much I loved it on Facebook because I read the whole thing. Yes, and
that's
it's just
awesome.
So great.
Thank you.
I really love it.
Well, you know, when I went to Africa, and I knew that as I was flying back over the Atlantic, that I had to tell the story of what I saw in Africa. You know, I think so many times African countries don't get much justice in the media. You know, they most of the time we see the parts, the extreme poverty, the economic problems, the political problems, the sickness and that type of thing. But I don't think I've ever seen anything more beautiful in my life. When I went to Victoria Falls in South Africa, and stood there at the Victoria Falls and just got drenched by the mist of the falls, and took a cruise on the, you know, took a sunset cruise on the river, and as we're cruising on the river, there's lions drinking from the water, you know, and elephants crossing the river in front of us, and you know, and I've just never seen anything more extremely beautiful in my life. So you know, I knew what I wanted to do was compare the experience there to the experiences here in America, especially for people of color and African Americans in particular, and to show the comparisons and the contrast between, you know, the thinking, the habits, the things that they do there versus what's done here. So that's how I, and I just kind of talked about my trip and chronicled the places that I visited. And of course, the one heartbreaking thing there was, you know, the high rate of AIDS, HIV was something that I wanted to raise awareness about because it is really destroying the continent. But other than that, I plan to go back as often as I can. I just simply love the continent of Africa now. I've fallen in love with it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Take me with you one of these days, please.
Yes, I would love to, Josie. You would love it. Trust me, you'd want to go back.
I know.
And Josie, when you get married, Josie, let me say this. That would make an amazing honeymoon spot. I'm telling you what, it is just magical. Yeah. The Victoria Falls is magical. Really,
oh,
they
I
are.
I bet. I mean, you mentioned it before. It's unfortunate we don't get to see all of the beautiful of that Africa brings, you know, on, you know,
absolutely.
TV or whatever.
Yes.
You know, you see all the poverty and all the bad
that's
stuff.
Right.
You never
that's
see,
right.
Yeah, you never see, you know, the smiles. I mean, you mentioned all of it. You know, they had great attitudes and
yes.
just everything. You never see that.
You know, and if I could just elaborate on that back 1 second
yeah.
here. I was just so surprised when we arrived in Zimbabwe, because we were at a primary school. We worked with the kids at a primary school for a while, and I was so shocked when we got out of the van and these little kids that only get to have a decent meal every 2 days or so, and it's decent by their standards because it was some mushy stuff, you know, nothing like what we eat, but you know, these kids who are very impoverished don't get much to eat. Most of them were very sick because a lot of them are HIV orphans and AIDS orphans. And, you know, that so many, a lot of villages were just desolate because so many people have just died from the AIDS epidemic. But these little children met us and they're singing this song and these welcome songs and they're doing it with so much energy and enthusiasm and they're saying, welcome, welcome, we're so glad you're here. And, you know, and I'm like, how can they be so happy, you know, with the conditions that they're living under? But what it was, though, what I had to realize later was that they were not looking at the current circumstances. It was the faith that they had that one day this would all be over. And that's where their joy came from, that it will not last always. And, in fact, their national theme is education is the way out of poverty. So they take education very, very seriously over there. And so and that just went off like a light bulb in my head as I traveled back across the Atlantic. And I will always remember that. So, yeah, it was pretty
yeah.
awesome.
That is so awesome. I mean, I was reading everything that you were talking about, you know, with the school, how they, you know, they don't have, you know, desks and, you know, some things that we have here that we take for granted every single day, you know.
I had
and
never seen anything like that before.
Right.
They're sitting on the dirt floor where there was like these huge potholes in the floor. They had no running water. They had no electricity. You know, the buildings were in shambles. The buildings were dilapidated and run down and just in disrepair. And I'm telling you, they learned in those conditions. They were some of the most brightest and intelligent, most articulate children I've ever had. And I've been working with kids now for 22 years in elementary school. And to go over there and see those kids learning those conditions, sitting on the floor, it was a humbling experience that just changed my whole outlook on life in so many different ways.
Right. I bet. I mean, you know, because you work in, you know, you're a teacher, of course, for people who don't know. You know, and you see a lot of kids, you know, you could see some kids that are, you know, obviously doing their work, but also you see some that are struggling and, you know, you're, you know, in those conditions, you see all those kids, you know, actually working and loving learning. It's kind of like, you know, we take that for granted.
Exactly. Absolutely. And matter of fact, when I came back from Africa, I had to look at my students and say, wow, here we are in a classroom where we have two desktop computers. We have a laptop computer. We have smart boards, we have iPads, you know, we have all of this stuff available to us, and then so many of us, you know, really couldn't care less, you know, about those things. But when I look at these little children, like I said, sitting on the floor with the benefit of not even having water, clean water, not even having a toilet. You know, they had to go outside to use the bathroom. So, you know, and that's all those things humbled me greatly, and it just made me come back and want to do more. And I have it. Since I returned from Africa, I've been working like a crazy person, but I'm loving it because, you know, I just want to make a positive impact, and I'm hoping and praying that that's what I'm doing.
You definitely do that. You really do. You are so good at, you know, bringing people together that normally wouldn't be able to get together, you know, around the world. You know, and it's, you know, we all come together for one purpose. And, you know, I think that is the most incredible part. And you, you know, I have to say, another thing that I really, really, you know, thought was very interesting about your journey from the book was that, you know, they were cooking for you, and they were just, you know, fantastic people, you know, and they were helping you out, and just, you know, they were just the most gracious hosts and everything.
They were, Josie. I'm telling you, they washed our clothes by hand. You know, they did our laundry by hand. They did everything for us, breakfast, lunch, dinner. They made sure we ate. They made sure we were comfortable, you know, and all they wanted, you know, was that opportunity to say thank you for being here. You know, we took supplies to them, and we did take computers over there. We took a few thousand books and set up a library for the children. And that was another very humbling thing because some of those kids had never had their own book. And to watch these children take a book and embrace it, they were embracing those books like they were the most precious things in the world because they never had their own books before. And all of those things really just, when I say humbled me, I came away from that experience determined to make my mark on the next generation and establish a legacy. And I'm still trying to work towards that. Those children in the Massachusetts Primary School in Zimbabwe taught me so much, and they weren't even trying to.
Oh, I know. And all the pictures that we're talking about, everyone, is on Facebook. If you just add Estenice Nguyen on Facebook, you just type in her name right there in the search bar, and then you pop up right away. So, very easy. It's very easy. There's not really a lot of Estenice Nguyen, so it's perfect.
No.
You know,
it's
so
not. I think it's pretty unique.
Yes, and I love it. And it's super, super easy to find you. So everyone, please make sure after the show you add her, and then also look at all of the pictures, because there's pictures of you with the lion, and there's pictures of you with the students. It's really neat. It's really neat. It definitely made me want to go to Africa, for sure. It definitely, that's like on my top list right now because it just looked fantastic. It looked fantastic.
It is.
And not only did it look fantastic because you're kind of, you know, there with the nature. That's what I love. I'm all about that.
Yes. To be out in the safari and, I mean, to see animals in their natural habitat is something also I'll never forget, you know. I mean, to be riding through the safari and see buffalo and rhinos and cheetahs and, you know, to see giraffes and antelope. And, I mean, they were just coming from all over the place to see these animals in their natural surroundings. It was just crazy, you know, without having to be in behind bars or in cages. They're just running free in their natural habitat. So that was really cool.
That is so, so cool. And I believe there's even a video on YouTube where there's, you know, video footage of you on an elephant, riding an elephant, and so many other things. Yes,
and walked with the lions. Yes. And I knew, like I said, when the lioness decided not to kill me that day, that I knew I would incorporate her somehow into the work that I would do from that point forward. So that's what I'm doing.
Exactly. And you were so funny how you put it in the book. You know, I didn't want to get mauled or anything, you know.
I was not going to go. I had told them initially, I'm not going to play with lions. You guys got to be kidding me, right? And it's like, no, it's all part of what we're doing. And I was like, I will see you when you get back. I'm not going to play with lions. It's not that serious to me. But they finally convinced me to go. And once I did get the nerve to touch that lioness, I think something from her transferred into me. And I've been just lioness crazy ever since.
Yes. You look like you got comfortable, though, I have to say, because in the video, there's, like, you, like, way back. Like, you're really far away. And then you're petting.
Yes.
It's really cool. I loved it. Yes. Everyone needs to check out that book so they can see, you know, what, you know, because you put in so much detail, we can't even get through it for this show. There's so many, so for sure, Two Continents, One Hope, and that you could probably find online as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Perfect, easy. And then Aerial Rising, that's obviously your current book. And like you mentioned, of course, it's on Barnes & Noble online and, you know, all of those great places. You know, and so I want everyone to please check that out. And, you know, this has just really given a life of its own because there is a theme song for it as well, I heard.
Two, actually.
There are two. Can you tell us a little bit about how the theme song came along?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Now, this part I really love talking about. The first one is already produced. It was written, and the second one is still in production. They're working on a video part of the second one. So let me tell you about the first one real briefly. And it is called Aerials Rising, and it is the most absolute beautiful song I ever heard. And it was written by my friend and your friend as well, Josie, Malia Taylor McKinney. Malia wrote the song for the Aerial Rising movement, and it is so, when she wrote it, you know, Malia was going through a tough time with her health, and so this is what makes this song even more special to me, in that she believed in this book and this movement so much that she was willing to put this song together even while she was going through these issues with her health. And so this song is very near and dear to my heart. And then the second song is called We Got the Power to Change the World. And that one was written and produced by Skylar Jett, Sylvester Burks, and Shayna Morrison. And it has probably about 10 vocalists, and won a Grammy Award-winning vocalist from the Titanic soundtrack, My Heart Will Go On. Leslie Ellis, she's singing on there, along with Kim Fleming and gosh, it is just so many people who have contributed to that song, We Got the Power to Change the World, and that should be released here shortly. So in early September, I believe that song will be released. I know that they are working on the video part of the song now. I did get a sneak peek at the video on last week, and all I could tell you is get ready because it is absolutely powerful. And if it don't get you up sticking out your chest feeling like you can change the world, then all I can say is you're not human if you don't feel that after listening to that song. But Aerials Rising by Malia, that song, I think when she first sent it to me, I know I listened to that song at least 15 times within an hour because it is just so amazing, and I just had to let it saturate into my spirit, into my psyche, because now I know aerials, when they rise, something great will happen. And let me say this, too, real quick. I got the name Aerial Rising. Aerial in the Hebrew tongue means lion or lioness of God, and that's why I got the name Aerial. And it also symbolizes ancient Jerusalem. I mean, this of course, I said earlier that I'm a person of faith, so I see it a lot from that perspective. And then rising, I just, you know, just see these women rising up saying, enough, you know, we want to make a difference. And so this is where the whole concept of Aerial Rising came from. So Aerial's Rising, that song is hot, I'm telling you. Malia did, they did a fantastic job on that song. So, yeah, we're very proud of both theme songs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, down the line, will, you know, both songs be able to purchase, you know, like on iTunes and all that? Really?
We are working on that now, so that both songs will be available. Somehow we need to connect the songs. The songs will be connected to the book so that when eventually, it's not at the moment as we speak, but eventually people will be able to get the book and be able to access the songs along with the books. But for now, I think the song's going to be independent of the book, but they will be available, and we're trying to get them into radio airplay and things now. So, yeah, they definitely, we're going to put a big spotlight on these songs because they are empowering as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we have a theme song here, Aerial Rising theme song, and we'll be right back so you can tell us a little bit about this one, because I know you have two, so I want to make sure we get the right one on. So here we go. Let's put on Aerial Rising theme song. We'll be right back. Here we go. Check it out, everybody. Woo! That was beautiful. Oh, yes.
Yes, I love it. And that one was written by Malia Taylor McKinney. And mm-hmm. I'm telling you what, I listen to that song several times a day because it is just that amazing. And I am so grateful to her for believing in this movement enough to lend her talents to that song. So I'm very, very pleased with it.
Absolutely. It is a great song. It's like a really great song to start your day with, just to get, you know, inspired and motivated. It really is.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Love it.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, I want to make sure that everyone finds you on all of, you know, your websites and social networking sites. Mm-hmm. So can you please share all of the ones that you use frequently?
Sure, absolutely. The site, the website is aerialrising.net. When you go there, you'll see any question that you may have. I tried to make sure when we built that site that it would include the answer to any question anyone may have. So if you want to know what the purpose of Aerial Rising is, you'll find that on the front page. If you want to know about the theme songs, who wrote them, who are involved, there is a picture and a website link to every individual contributor, not only to the song, the music, but also to the book. All 50-plus women, there are their photos are there on the site where you click their pictures, and it would take you to their website so you can learn more about the contributors. And then also the site also contains my books. Josie mentioned earlier, Two Continents, One Hope, and also my only work of fiction, which is called Interception. You can find information about those books there. Information about me, there's a page that tells you about who I am if you want to know a little bit more about me. And I also now have the Ariel of the Month for September. Which I didn't know this, but Ariel of the Month is Katie Hamilton Schaefer, who is a vintner in Napa Valley, California. Mm-hmm. And Katie was named 40 Under 40 Entrepreneurs, and she's doing some amazing philanthropy work in Malawi and in different places in Africa. But Katie, also, you know, the other night there was an earthquake out that way, and a lot of the vintners and wineries were affected by that earthquake. Some of them were destroyed, and so I don't think Katie, in a sense, I don't think she lost her particular winery, but some of them did. But Katie Hamilton Schaefer is our Ariel of the Month because she's doing such amazing philanthropy work here in the U.S. as well as in different countries in Africa. So that's arielrising.net. I'm also on Twitter, simply Estiny Snooten on Twitter, and I do most of my corresponding and communicating with everyone on Facebook. So, and as Josie told you earlier, if you just go in and just type in S. Denise Newton, you will find me. And my name, Denise, is spelled with a C. I'm a little strange. I'm a little unique. So it's D-E-N-I-C-E. And my last name is Newton, like cookie that I don't like at all. Don't like pick Newton cookie, but it's spelled just like that. S. Denise Newton. So, yeah. And that way you can find me and find out about the work that we're doing.
Yes, everyone, please keep up to date with everything. And it's fantastic. I love going on your page and seeing what new things that you have coming up, because you have so many. I mean, you're constantly just working and constantly pushing, doing great projects.
Yeah. I question my, sanity sometimes. I think I'm really insane underneath all of this. My sister said to me once that the work that I do is really a drug. She said, because you just can't stop. And I said, no, I can't, because when I go to work every day and I look in the faces of these young people some of whose lives are so uncertain, and they're making so many poor choices that are going to result in them having a less than successful life, then I think that it would behoove me, while I still can and able, to make that positive impact on the next generation, I must do it.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I think everything that you do is just fantastic. And I told you already, I am a fan, so I love looking and seeing what kind of things you have coming up. It's always fascinating. I love it.
Oh, you are so awesome. You really are, Chelsea. You are just so awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. And another great thing that I actually seen in your bio that I really wanted to bring up, because I would like to know a little bit more about it. You're an ambassador with the Africa Live Education Foundation. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. It was with the Africa Live Education Foundation that I went to Africa in 2011. And what we do is, you know, we are working right now to get clean water, to certain African villages, school supplies, try to help get, they worked on electricity for some of the homes. A lot of the areas that don't have electricity and power, they just, booked literacy programs, just try to help even with medical supplies because of the prevalence of the AIDS-HIV pandemic there. So a lot of it is just reaching out, just doing outreach across the Atlantic Ocean into various areas of Africa and saying, hey, we're here, what can we do to assist you to make life better? And so that's what the Africa Live Education Foundation does.
Yes, and if we could, help, if someone, really wants to, help, whether donate or give money, how can we do that? Is there like a website or something that's easy?
There is. And in fact, I think the name of it may have changed, but if you could I tell you what I will do, because I think the name has actually changed recently.
Oh.
I will, if you are interested in that information, I will post it on the Aerial Rising website and also on Facebook so that you can go directly there and find out what is needed and if you can help in any way. I would definitely post that information tonight for you because I'm not exactly sure how the name has changed, but I knew they were working on a name change, so and I don't want to give you the wrong information. So
right,
I will get that information as soon as we leave the air tonight, and I will post it on the Area Rising website as well as Facebook. So we'll make it available to you.
Perfect, perfect. Once you post it on Facebook, I could, you know, share it on all of our pages as well. So
okay,
you guys won't miss
wonderful.
It.
Perfect, wonderful.
Perfect, perfect. Awesome, awesome. And, you know, another thing that I wanted to mention in case, you know, there are people listening that really, really want to hear everything that you say and, you know, everything
mm-hmm.
that, you know, means the most to you. Do you have any upcoming public events where any of my listeners can maybe see you? Anything on the books yet? Or...
Well, one of the things we have one confirmed we have one confirmed event where, like I said, which actually will be our official book launch of Aerial Rising, which will be launched by the Cubs of Aerial Rising, and that will take place on September 30th here in the area where I am in North Carolina. But we will it will be videoed, and I will make it available, make the video public once we are finished. So we do have that on the books. And I've also been invited to out to Los Angeles for a reception for Aerial Rising. And so we're working on that. And then I also have the incredible opportunity to meet a 103-year-old, one of the last remaining civil rights activists. Amelia Boynton Robinson was very instrumental with the Voting Rights Act of 1964, I believe it was 64.
Wow.
She's 103 now, and so we have the opportunity to meet her in person and to get her a copy of Aerial Rising, because certainly she's a lioness as well. And so those are some things that we do have confirmed, and then there's a few unconfirmed events that we've been invited to, so we're trying to see how we can take them all.
Yes.
So I'm going to try.
You got it. You really do. And, you know, Aerial Rising is just, of course, I'm going to continue reading it, and I hope everyone gets their copy. If someone wants a copy with your autograph on it, where can they go? Is there a specific way that they can get that special kind of copy?
Well, they can order the, if they order the book directly from me, from my website, then I will ship it from, you know, from the website, and I will, you know, when I do book signings, I don't just sign my name. I personalize, because I think that anybody who takes the time to support, you know, my work, I should take the time to let them know how I feel about it. And I just think that simply signing a name is just so impersonal, and it just does not do justice to the reader and the person that is supporting me. So I've had readers say, well, my goodness, you write a whole letter. Yeah, because I want you to know how I feel about how you make me feel, how you have impacted others through purchasing that book, because we definitely want to eventually have proceeds from this book to help that Masavisa village in Chirugwi, Zimbabwe, where I was just telling you these children sit on the floor. They don't have running water. They don't have power. We want to be able to help financially with that village in particular. So, yeah, if you order from me directly, then you can get that personalized book, and that's what I would do, is write a personalized note to you and tell you what you have just done by purchasing that book, who you have helped, and who you've impacted. So.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome. Oh, check it out, everybody. That is so cool. So they just go to your website, and you can get that personalized message. That's so cool. So everyone, do it that
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. Yes, I do. Even at book signings, I don't just put S. Denise Newton in a book. That is just so silly and impersonal. My signature carries no weight, but the message carries a lot of weight. So I'm just a person. I'm just a vessel. I don't get the big head. I'm nobody special. I'm still the same person I've always been all my life, and my signature means nothing. But the message that is behind the work is what means everything. So it's very important to me to take the time to engage my readers So every opportunity I get to do that, I am more than willing.
And that is why we love you. And we ran out of time, but, I mean, you know that you are welcome on our show any time of the day.
Thank you, Josie. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you to your amazing listeners. I just thank you guys. And, you know, God bless you. And if you, you know, get the book, and who knows, next year at this time, it might be you and one of my additions. So we'll see. You know, I'm ready.
Yes, you are constantly working and just doing fantastic things. And I thank you so much for everything. And
you know for being a
friend and just being someone that I could talk to. You are just a great, great person. And thank you so much for coming on again. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Josie. You're so amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. And we will chat with you, you know, again very, very soon.
Sounds good. Be looking forward to it.
Perfect, perfect. Remember, everyone, please add, follow, subscribe. Go to all of our websites. We'll be posting that after the show. And talk to you soon. That's Denise Newton, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Oh, bye. God bless you.
Thank you.
Anytime. Thank you. Oh, we love her. She is fantastic. I'm so happy that we got to touch on all of the topics. I mean, I wanted to get everything out, you know, in the little amount of time that we have. We went maybe an hour over an hour a little bit. So, wow, that's amazing. And I am just so excited to see what is next for Miss Estenise Newman, because she always has something coming up, whether it be, you know, just speaking to people, teaching, you know, books, you know, just she just does it all. She has many, many hats, I tell you. She is just a fantastic woman, so please make sure you guys follow, add, subscribe, you know, Facebook, Twitter. Once again, I'll post all those links. And check out Ariel Rising. Woohoo! Check it out. And thank you all so much for tuning into the show. And I have a couple more announcements before we wrap it up here. So first off, I wanted to thank everyone for two nominations in the Independent Country Music Association Awards for 2014. And we were nominated for Most Indie-Friendly Radio Show, and I was nominated for Most Indie-Friendly DJ, which still, when I say that, I can't even believe it, honestly, because, I mean, I got in there from all of you, and I really, really am just so honored and grateful, and thank you all so much. And if I could hug all of you out there virtually, I'm doing that right now, actually. Virtual hug. And I think you guys are just awesome. And also, we are celebrating having Country Blast Radio become a national chart reporting station. For all of you guys that don't know, we have the Josie Show, and also I have a 24/7 licensed country music radio station, Country Blast Radio, where we play the best mix of all its country, from signed, independent artists. It doesn't matter. We play it all. We're just extremely, extremely thrilled to be national chart reporting, you know, national chart reporting station. I mean, what? I can't even, like, fathom that. I think that is the coolest thing ever. And thank you all so much for all the congratulations on Facebook and Twitter. I really, really appreciate it. And another, you know, some more little bit of announcements here. This Thursday, August 28th, is going to be the Country Blast Radio Countdown Blast. So please make sure you tune in for that. So please mark it on all of your calendars. And, you know, I actually just got a phone, Samsung Galaxy S5, so I have a calendar on here. So if you have any smartphones or phone calendars, mark it in there so you know on the go. I gotta love technology. So, you know, don't miss it. And that's August 28th, Country Blast Radio Countdown Blast. It'll be at 7 p.m. Central right on countryblastradio.com. Check it out, everybody. And also, we'll be back live on Friday with four guests, so it's going to be another packed show, so please make sure you tune in. And also, on our special edition episode, that will be on September 8th, with the talented Mandy Rain. So I'm very, very excited to be chatting with her. And once again, I'm super thankful that the wonderful Estenise Newton joined me tonight for this special edition of the Josie Show. And thank you all so much for tuning us in, whether it be on your phone, you know, on the computers, or you're listening to us on our archive section on our website. Thank you all so much from the bottom of our heart, and we will chat with you guys on Friday. Chat with you guys soon. Good night. Mwah! Thank you for listening to The Josie Show Special Edition.